David said that in the psalm. Offerings and burnt offerings do not require. Sacrifice to God is a humble and broken spirit, pride heart. We talked about that last Sunday. This Sunday we're going to talk about faith that overcomes. The text is 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 through 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. His commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Father, I thank You. Your word never returns to You void. It always accomplishes what You sent it up. Lord Jesus, I thank You that You have said wherever two or three are gathered in Your name, You're in the midst of them. I thank You for the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. And Your word is truth, Lord. It's established forever. And I pray that You will use this sword, Holy Spirit, to open our hearts for us. Lord, I pray if anyone here today has never called on Your name, that this would be the day of salvation. I ask this all in the name. Paul said, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, or John, I'm sorry. And Jesus had said, no one can come to Me unless the Father who sent Me draws him. Some get election out of that. Jesus later said, those who are taught of God will come to Me. John said that Jesus is the Christ. That's important. Christ isn't Jesus' last name. Okay? We say it like that. Properly, He would be called Jesus the Christ. And the Christ in the Hebrew means an anointed one. Or in the Greek. In the Hebrew, it means to anoint someone with sacred oil for a dedicated purpose. Alright. So, John says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the anointed one, the Messiah, the Christ, has been born of God. You remember what Jesus said to Peter when He asked the disciples who He was, who the people said He was, and they gave different answers. And then He very pointedly looked at His men and said, who do you think I am, or say that I am? And Peter said, I believe that You are the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed Son of the living God. You remember what Jesus said to him? Blessed are you, Peter, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but My Father has revealed this truth. We need to understand something. Not everybody that names the name of Jesus is a disciple of Jesus, is a true disciple of Jesus. Jesus said to the Jews, unless you believe that I am the one I claim to be, you'll die in your sins. Now, you're probably saying, why are you going into such detail on this first verse? The Holy Spirit wants us to understand this. It saddens me, and I don't say this in arrogance. I have talked to Christians. In fact, I've been reprimanded by Christians before. I'm sure that Jehovah's Witnesses are going to heaven. I'm sure that the Mormons are going to heaven. I haven't had a Christian yet say, I'm sure that the Muslims will go to heaven, but they're out there. There's a move in some of the bigger churches to reconcile Christianity with Islam, and they're going to call it Chrislam.
You can't do that. You can, but that's not of God. Why am I harsh against Jehovah's Witness? I had a grandmother, lived and died as Jehovah's Witness, and as far as I'm concerned, she's lost. And I told her that to her face. I'm not talking about my granny behind her back. But I tried to reason with her, and she said, I don't want to hear it. They're the only church that came and offered to help me when I was trying to live on $600 Social Security a month. She lived out in Wisconsin. And they came over and had Bible studies. No other church did that. I said, but you weren't studying the Word of God. You were studying their transliteration of what they told you was the Word, but it was a lie. She said, how do you know that? I said, Jehovah's Bible says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Jehovah, and the Word was a God, little g. I said, any God that's a little g ain't a God. Jesus Christ is God the Son of God, the Word who became flesh, God who became flesh. And John said, if anyone comes to you with any other teaching than that, don't welcome them. Don't invite them into your house. Don't support them. I've had people say, well, I give them a little money so they'll shut up and leave me alone. Well, then you're supporting what they're doing. Who do I think I am? I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. And I am up here to tell you the truth. And it bothers me. Again, I'm not judging any Christian. But when I hear a Christian say, well, they just believe a little different than we do, and they're going to heaven. If they do go to heaven, then the devil himself is going to heaven. Because that's where that doctrine came from. So this is why it's so important you understand, John isn't saying everybody who believes in Jesus has been born of God. No. The demons believe in Jesus. The Bible says they tremble in fear at the name of Jesus. But they're not just trying to get to God some other way. You know, that belief will not get them into heaven. John says very pointedly, remember, Gnostics were coming into the church at this time, and they were telling the church, Jesus wasn't God's Son. Jesus was a man, and the Christ consciousness came upon him at his baptism, but it left when he was crucified. And any one of you can be the Christ. That's what they taught. So John said, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, has been born of God. So don't take everybody at their word when they say, well, yeah, I believe in Jesus. You ask Jehovah's Witness who Jesus is? Well, we believe Jesus was Michael the Archangel. Well, in the book of Hebrews, it says, to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I've become begotten you? He said, to which of the angels did God ever say, come in, sit on my right hand? Angels are ministering spirits sent to minister to those who are heirs of salvation. Do you know you got angels around you, Christian? I can't see them, but I know they're there. I think I've had a whole tag team of them around me. Here, you take them for a while. The reason John can say this is because he heard his Lord say to Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal that. I talked to a Muslim young man a while back, and he said, we Christians and Muslims are very close in our beliefs, and we just need not to argue with one another. I believe in the same Jesus you do. I didn't say anything but that. I said, please. He said, Jesus is a great prophet like Muhammad. I said, man, Jesus is above Muhammad. If he's just a prophet, he's not a good one, because he proclaimed that he was God in the flesh. He proclaimed he was the Son of the living God. That's why the Jews wanted him killed. They said, this guy's a blasphemer. He's freaking us out, man. He keeps talking like he's God. Well, there's only two choices you can make out of those statements. Either he's deluded, or he is who he says he is. You see, in the Bible says, when you and I believe that he is who he said he is, We set this to our seal that God is true. So if you don't believe it, you're calling God a liar. Through the Mormons say Jesus, well, he's Lucifer's brother. One of the thousands and hundreds of thousands of spirit children of God. And God's Adam. Adam and Eve are our gods. They're the ones that created us. And if you're a dedicated enough Mormon, if you pay out enough tithes, and you come into our temple ceremonies, and you're indoctrinated into the temple ceremonies, and you go through the temple thing, then when you and your wife die, you go to the first heaven. And when you and your wife are in the first heaven for a while, if you continue to be a good Mormon, you go to the second heaven. And once you arrive at what that you're supposed to, you go to the third heaven, you get your own planet, and you're God. And you are the God of that world, and you and your wife have spirit children, and they put them on that earth, and guess what they do? They worship you. That comes right out of the Garden of Eden. God doesn't want you to eat off that tree, because he knows that when you do eat off of it, you'll be just like God. Christian, you ought to be able to recognize the doctrine of demon spirit. Now, I don't hate Jehovah's Witness. I don't hate the Mormons. In fact, I feel sorry for them. But they're liars. John said, any spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, not from God, this is the spirit of Antichrist. And I have quoted that scripture to both Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, and they say, we believe Jesus came to the flesh. I said, who is he? Oh, he was a great prophet. Great. So that shows me they're not born of God. Understand this. You're here today, and you know and believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the anointed Son of the living God. You're already blessed. John said, you are a child of God. You have been born of God. Hallelujah! Man, somebody ought to have got happy about that. I don't have to strive to be a child of God. I am a child of God. Yeah. That's a powerful statement, John starts out with. The Lord showed me something one time when I was praying, and I was asking power to do something, and he said, Rick, I did everything I could for you on the cross. There's nothing extra I'm going to do. I've done it all on the cross. You're the one that's supposed to receive that. Oh, that made it plain stuff, man. I don't believe it. That's why you don't do anything for the Lord. That's why God doesn't trust you to get into spiritual battles with demons. You better believe. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Satan doesn't sleep. He's up 24/7. He's been walking this earth for thousands of years, and Peter, he was talking to the elders, jerk. He said, you better be sober and vigilant because your enemy, the devil, is looking for someone to devour. How do we get over here? I'll bring it back to where I'm going here. Remember, John's talking about being overcomers. I shared with a lady a while back, we were talking about Christians. And she noticed how some Christians just didn't seem to make effort. They think by naming the name of Christ that they're in, you know. And I said, Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. I said, there are two kinds of people in the church. There are those who believe in you. There are those who follow. Who do you think Jesus is going to share with? Once you follow. Because we need it. When you, Christian, set your mind that I am going to follow Jesus Christ, there's going to be all kinds of opposition coming. try to trip you up, try to get you sidetracked. Why does John say that we need to overcome the world? Hey, we're in it. I want to be a quiet Christian and not cause any trouble and get people mad at me. Years ago, I'd watched Billy Jeff. I was 16 years old, so that's been a while back. And I was so impressed. I liked Tom Laughlin. He was trained in Hapkido, a Korean art that 90% is your feet. The boy Tom go off and he walked through there kicking guys in the face, knocking them down. And I was impressed with that, but his girlfriend in the movie was a pacifist. Totally non-pacifist. And I thought, that's what I'm gonna be. And I had guys walk up to me in school and slap me in the face, spit in my face, knock my books out of my hands, trip me. And they'd laugh at me when I'd get up and just dust so long and go on. One night, one of them decided he wanted to fight. He'd been drinking. I hadn't. Kind of rare for those days, but I hadn't been drinking. And he came in where I was, and he said, you and I are going to go outside and fight. I said, no, you go outside, but I'm not going outside. And he looked at me and he said, you'll fight me here or you'll fight me outside. That's what Satan does, church. You don't get to make a choice. Unless you want to crawl back onto his side. You don't get to choose. You're in a war. Jesus declared war on Satan. And in his high priestly prayer, first time I read this, Father and Phil, he was praying for his church. And he said, I'm not praying for the world. Well, wait a minute. I thought you loved the whole world, man. I thought you loved everybody in the world. He said, no. I'm praying for those given to me out of the world. If you are a true born-again Christian, God took you out of the world and planted you in the kingdom of heaven. He's already done that, Father. So we're not of this world. I don't belong to this world. Satan is the god of this world. This world hates God and opposes everything that he does. They nailed Jesus to a tree. And if he were to come back now the way he did then, I believe they'd kill him. You see, John says, Christian, you have to overcome the world. And there's two kinds of Christians when it comes to that. You're either overcoming the world or you're being overcome by the world. That's just as plain and as black and white as I can put it. Well, brother, I ain't that strong. Neither am I. Now, is this a one-time faith deal that I just stand up and say, I am a world overcomer? You know, the minute I say that, you know what's going to happen? The world's going to come against me. They're going to come after me. We're going to try to sidetrack. It'd be easy for us if the world just goes, I'm going to beat your face in if you don't deny Jesus Christ. But they don't. Man, you stop drinking. You smoke a little of this. Isn't she pretty? You can have her. What's the world say about God? Well, we really don't believe in him, or we think he's too harsh. Who's he to tell us how to live? Hey man, God made me gay, so it's okay. That's the world. A woman has the right to do with her body as she chooses. That's the world's idea, not God. Paul said, don't you know that you are not your own, but you were bought with a price? The blood of Jesus Christ redeemed you and redeemed me from this world. Now, does that mean that we need to go out in the woods and build a big old Constantine wire fence around us and put out claymores and bouncing Bettys and everything and say, we love you, but we'll blow your head off if you come near us? No. God says to the church, you're my witnesses that I alone am God. And we can't witness that just sitting behind these walls. If a sinner happens to come stumbling in here, I mean, they might say, well, okay,
You know, these are Christian people. I don't know. John said, this is the victory that has overcome the world. Has. That's him. Already has. Peter said to the church, you have everything you need for life and God. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. God wants me to be a world overcomer, not overcome by the world. And I see churches that are overcome by the world and they've lost their place in the fellowship of Jesus Christ. Any church that will ordain a homosexual man or a lesbian woman and say, we recognize you as a man and a woman of God, they don't have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. They're not born of God. All they are is a social club. Those churches won't be persecuted when persecution comes here. It'll be guys like me and you that's going to go to jail for maybe being killed. I hope whoever kills me knows what they're doing. I don't want somebody practicing on. Where was the sergeant that I don't want that. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Remember, John said, if you believe that Jesus Christ, the anointed, this just blew the Nazarites away. When he went to his hometown, he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is on me. Because he has anointed me. He's dedicated me to this purpose. To bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. To proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison doors to those who are bound. I told you this in another service. When he says to open the doors for those who are bound, Dr. Adam Clark said, the Greek says those who are bound in chains and in prison. That's bound. You're not only in a cell, you're in shackles and hand chains. That's what sin does. I was talking to a guy the other day that used to do drugs. We were talking about our past experience, and he said, do you remember when you quit doing them and they were doing you? He said, isn't that always the end result? If you're going to abuse your body with drugs, including alcohol? I said, yeah, I remember that. See, I was of the world. I was serving God. But one night, God in his mercy opened my eyes. And I called out to him, and the Bible says, he plucked me up from the kingdom of darkness. One of the Greek guys I read, or the Greek language, said, it's like pulling a plane up, roots and all. It says, kind of violent. God jerked me up out of the kingdom of darkness and planted me the kingdom, son of his love. Now, my battle with this world will not end until my eyes close in death or the Lord comes to get me. But I remind myself every day I am an overcomer. What edge do I have over this world? I believe Jesus Christ, the anointed Son of the living God. I believe he died on the cross for my sins and he was raised on the third day. I believe that he sits on the right hand of God and he prays by faith. Probably not telling how many times. God, the devil doesn't want you to understand that you're overcoming. And I'm not talking about main claim. I am talking about this, the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. John already said it. If you believe that Christ, you have been born of God. He said in his gospel, we haven't been born out of passion or man's plan. We have been born of God. Spiritually born. Born again, Jesus said. Born from above.
Once you are born from above, you are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And I'm sorry, church, but in his prayer before he went to the cross, Jesus said, Father, I'm not asking you to take them out of this world. Why? I mean, I'm asking that, but why, man? I don't want to stay here. Amen. I just preached the funeral Friday. And I told that much, you know. All of us have an appointment with death. The Bible says that you ain't going to get out of it. And when God's done with me, I'm going to die. I know that. He told me that. When I went through that heart surgery, he said, don't be afraid. I'm not finished yet. And the cardiac surgeon told my family that when they got done, put the last stitch in, they always give you a drug to start your heart. He said, his heart just started beating. That was my father. He was showing off a little bit. Lord goes, I have a peace about dying. Okay. Am I looking forward to it? Not necessarily, but in most ways, yes. I'd like to live to my great grandchildren. And if my grandchildren come, that's not it. This world is wicked. This is a God hating world. And Christian, if you're overcome by it, you'll be damned with the world. That's straight up God's honest truth. You know how we say all sins are the same? The Bible doesn't say that. That's the doctrine of the devil. All sins are the same. God died. No, they're not. You read how God judged Israel because they had his law and they sinned against the light. Jesus said, if I had not come down to this world and done the things that nobody else has ever done, they would have an excuse for their sin. He said, now they don't have any excuse. They don't have anywhere to hide. You got to make a decision, man. Who is Jesus? Oh, I think good prophet. Good. Pray you're just walking the ball and tall weeds. Now, I'm not glorying like I figured this out by myself. God in his mercy revealed the truth to me, and I accept it. Jesus Christ has set you apart for a holy purpose. And he says, I've given you the power to tread on scorpions and serpents and all the power of the enemy. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. You can write that down, church. Will have trouble. But be of good cheer. I overcame the world. Well, who's living in us? The guy who overcame the world. Free for the ass. That's where we get in trouble. Oh, I got this. God, got it. I can handle this. And then you fall flat on your face. You sit on the ground and go, why not? Remember when we talked about Peter walking on water? When did he get in trouble? The minute he took his eyes off. I was counseling a young woman, married couple, and she got into an adult situation. And I knew about it. And she came to me one day, and I said something. She kind of grinned, said, well, yeah, you know. Said, I baptized you. You made a commitment to follow Christ. Well, yeah, but you know how it is. I made a mistake. I said, no, sin. And this is the grievous thing, because you didn't just sin against God, you sinned against his temple, who you are, who the Holy Spirit lived in. I said, didn't the Holy Spirit warn you not to do that? Well, you know how it is when you're being tempted, though. You get drawn into it. I said, you got your eyes off Christ. I told her, I said, this is how I think. If I'm tempted by a woman, let's mess around. Nobody will know. Number one, God knows. Number two, if I get into this affair, it doesn't just affect me. It affects God. It affects the church. It affects my family. And I said, you have to look at it that way. And she looked at me and said, I think there are not very many men that think like you. I said, there's a lot more than you realize, Darla. Then I had a talk with her husband, and he told me later they got together, and he said, did Rick talk to you? She said, oh, man, did he talk to me. And he was thinking about seeing somebody else because his wife had done it. And I set him down. I said, the Bible says, repay no man equal with him. I said, don't repay God equal with his wife. You're right. It was sinful. It was evil. It was wicked what she did. I said, why do you want to get down on that level? Be a bigger man. One night they showed up at my door. Both of them holding hands. They were smiling. I said, you're right. We want Christ. I gave both the cousin. I said, I can't. I'm not bragging on it. See, the world would say, hey, it happened. Especially the men when they get up on their feet. They have that big life crisis. I haven't had one that I know of. I used to wear an earring, and one guy asked me why I wore an earring. I said, because I can't afford a Harley. I said, I want a Harley. I like riding bikes, but I can't afford one, so I pierced my ear. See there, God? I'm going to find the spot. World can't set it, though. That's how you keep from being overcome by the world. He loves us so much that Paul says when he does punish us for sinning, he does it because he doesn't want to judge us. That's a good God. That's a good Father. I love you. Great. I look at somebody praising the tongue, bro, they're not talking to me. So I stand there and say, that's what the devil told. Well, we believe the gifts of the Holy Spirit have passed. You're wrong. The only way that can happen is when the Holy Spirit is dwelling in. Okay? Peter said we have everything we need for life and godliness. We need to draw off that. It's like we have an account in the kingdom of heaven. And God, through Jesus Christ, has placed a large deposit in there, and he says you can draw this any time
Paul says, when I weep, then I'm strong. There's the power of Christ. That's for three believers. Now, if you're trying to get to Jesus by keeping some rules, that won't work. By trying to be a good person, that won't work. Jesus Christ came to this earth to say, sinner. The definition of a sinner is those who miss the mark. That includes everyone in the church. And it's only through his blood being shed for you that God is able to forgive you for your sin. He promised to make you a brand new person. But I'm not one of them old druggies. Yeah, man, this guy never does it again. No, it took a while. But I love being sober. Ain't no high like the Holy Ghost. Praise God. You're a Christian at this point. And you know you've been born of God. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will bear witness to our spirit. Too long. But maybe you're overcome by a sin. Don't play with that. Don't justify it. Just lay it at stake. When Nathan confronted David about his adulterous affair with Bathsheba and then the murder of her husband, David didn't say, well, you know how it is, Nathan. I was lonely. My wife were mad at me, and I was pretty misunderstood, and she understood me. He sat and talked on. No, Nathan, Nathan. The minute Nathan said, you're the man, David said, hey. That's what he did. You haven't come to the Lord yet. What are you waiting for? Come here and hear the preacher's word. We had a young lady on our praise team years ago. I thought she. And me and one of the other elders went out one night and talked to her and her husband. I said, you've been coming to church for a while. Do you have any questions? She said, yeah, what do I got to do to be saved? I've had an unbeliever up there singing Christian songs in the Holy Spirit. So, why do you think she's asking what she must do to be saved? Oh, God didn't need to clear it with me. Just because people name the name of Jesus does not make them children of God. And I don't judge anyone in this room whether you're a child of God or not. That's not my call. But I'm saying if the Holy Spirit right now is telling you that you need to come to Christ, what are you waiting for? Don't fight him. Don't say maybe tomorrow, because maybe tomorrow it may not be here for you. But you stand with me. Are you an overcomer? Well, one of you are. Ah. Well, man, I don't overcome you because I'm still sinning and making mistakes. That's not what John said. He said, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. You're already an overcomer. If you're a Christian, you are an overcomer. You need to remind yourself of that. You need to remind the devil of that. You need to remind your wife and kids of that. And remind yourself. If you need to come to Christ, come up here and sit down. I'll be glad to visit. If you're a Christian and you're really struggling with sin, come and talk to me after the service. Anything you and I talk about stays with me. But don't put it off till tomorrow. The Holy Spirit says today is the day. Would you come as we sing our song of invitation? Thank you. come back at 6 o'clock tonight. Stop the park. Then learn about astronomy. Study the planets and stars. How that all proves God's gift. God's Son. Be remembering those on our prayer list. Praying for him. Remember the family support of Paul. Can't imagine the form. Any other prayers?
Remember Sherry Runnins, the teacher in my classroom, who had surgery Friday to remove the thyroid. She has cancer there as well.
Sherry Runnins. From what? Yeah. I don't know, he has close. I don't know. Close.
Thank you, Father, for the rain that we needed so much. And thank you for the sunshine that we have today. Be with those who could not be here for whatever reason. And we pray that you keep us safe in the coming week. Help us to make more time for you, Father, in our lives. More time for prayer and more time to read and study your word. In Jesus' name we ask.
Count your blessings and them one by one. Count your blessings to what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your little blessings to what God has done.